Yo, man.
Yo.
Open up, man.
Yo, what do you want, man?
My girl just caught me.
Well, hello, buddy. Welcome to the show, Phil Henry Show.
Yes, and on the road to San Francisco right after this. And good luck up there, Phil.
Thank you very much. General Shaw is with us, Robert and Bud Dickman. And we're going to have Robert Greene on with us today from Fraser Foods. And what's he going to be rapping about?
Robert Greene is going to be talking about San Ben sauerkraut. This is a sauerkraut that he's got some monetary interest in.
A sauerkraut that I can't wait to hear about that. And I think we also are... See, one other person we got on. Oh, Jack Armstrong will be talking with us about Deflategate or Ball Ghazi or whatever the hell they call it. But that thing is still sort of percolating. I saw a press conference today. I don't know if anybody else saw that.
Yeah, we had a press conference with Tom Brady and another one with Bill Belichick. And he was very, you know, concerned that they'd be all over him like stink on you-know-what.
Well, that's a crude way of putting it, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, a lot of people thought that. Hold on for a minute. I got to get some. Where's the coffee? Every time I need coffee, there is no coffee, and I wind up sounding like I put my finger in a light socket.
Get that over here.
Let somebody made a Starbucks run this morning.
You know, I got you a venti latte, man.
Well, I needed that. I'm telling you, I needed that. All right.
You're not sleeping very well, my understanding. You've got, you know something, you've got nerves like, you need some of that nerve tonic.
Yeah, Henry, you know, they used to have nerve tonic. Why don't you take some of that?
I don't need any nerve tonic, okay?
Well, you're not sleeping. These weeks before a gig, you don't sleep.
I don't sleep at all anyway, so don't worry about it. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's got to do with the fact that I'm nuts. How about that?
Well, everyone knows that, Phil. I'm just kidding.
Well...
I said I'm kidding. What's everyone looking at me with the big, oh, forget it. I won't try and kid them.
I know. I'm nuts. You're right. Okay. What the hell are we talking about here?
I don't know. You wanted to go on about the sauerkraut and, oh, yeah, Jack Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, Deflategate.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bud, what do you got?
We already went with Bud on that one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that Bill Belichick.
His name is Belichick. What, Bud, are you bucking for clown of the century? Belichick.
Yeah, Bud Belichick, man. Tom Brady, the quarterback.
No kidding, I know that.
All right, well, so what did Belichick say?
Well, Belichick said Beatty knew.
Belichick, I watched it as much as I am bored stiff and bored sick by sports. And I mean bored sick. Bored to the point where I don't think I can stand another half second of it. But I went ahead and held my nose and watched this asinine display that you call a press conference. And I watched as Bill Belichick very carefully, very decidedly, and I think with a great deal of flair, threw Tom Brady right underneath the rolling and possibly accessory with knives and with blades.
Will you get to it, Margaret?
Under the bus.
Okay, thank you. So Bill Belichick...
Yeah, it looked like he did.
...threw Tom Brady under the bus. How did he do that?
Well, it looked to me like Belichick just said, I don't know nothing about it.
All right, well, Jack Armstrong's going to join us.
Not Jack Armstrong. The guy is a three-time loser.
What are you trying to... You're trying to rehabilitate that guy, huh?
Mr. Henry, you hit the microphone.
I know I did. I'm not trying to rehabilitate Jack Armstrong. He's a reporter, and he's going to learn how to do sports, and he's going to do sports for us. And I'm not trying to rehabilitate diddly squat, okay? I think the guy can do it, and if I didn't think he could do it, I wouldn't have him doing it. And that's just it.
So he will do it?
He'll do it.
Because you think he can do it?
Because I think he... Yes. All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment. We've got to go over to traffic very quickly here with Bob Bakey. I understand, Bob, you got to get going, right? You're going to a wedding or something?
I'm down to the wedding. My sister and my siblings are going to get married. My daughter, sister. And also my wife going to get married to another man someday. So I'm going to get some traffic really quick here. So over here on the outside downtown, I got the clown town down there. And again, of course, we're going to shake them down. If you've got to shake somebody down, today's the day to do it in Santa Barbara. Shake downtown. Up down on the highways over there on the left side of the freeway, you can find out at Beverly, the Betty Davis stranded. They rolled her in her grave. Bob Beacon, traffic.
Yeah. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, reminding you that Phil is at Sketchfest tonight. That's right, tonight, 7:30 and 10 at Stageworks in San Francisco.
And if you want to see him on February 5th at the Hollywood Improv, you can do that too if you want to do it. I need someone to show me the thing.
All right, let's talk to our friend Jack Armstrong on the line with us here from New York City this morning. Jack, I know you're all over the place. So what do you do now in New York? Where was the press conference yesterday? That was in Boston, right?
Right. Well, the press conference yesterday, Bill, was in the Foxborough, Massachusetts. That's where they had Bill Belichick as well as Tom Brady. And they was talking about what was a very unfortunate situation over Sunday, which was that the boss was deflated. They were not very clear as to who did it. Tom Brady said that he was very clear that he didn't do it.
Now, what are you doing in New York?
Right now I'm in New York City for a press conference. There's a prize fight between Tattler Mundane and Jerry Got Abandoned. And Jerry Got Abandoned is an unusual name for a boxer, but this is a different division of boxer. They're going for a more colorful name.
What's the guy's name?
Jerry Got Abandoned.
What is Jerry Got Abandoned?
Well, apparently he was an orphan. And so instead of regular names, they give themselves phrases. Like, you know, like rock groups today, everything is all that remains in this moment. This is Jerry Got Abandoned. And the guy that he's fighting is, let me see the name of that. Big Tom Brown. So
Big Tom Brown.
Yeah, I guess he didn't come up with a name that is suitable, so they're going to go with that one.
But what division is this?
It's a very colorful part of the Price by Heavyweight Division, a very, very colorful boxing alliance called the North American Boxing Alliance. And I think that's a tentative name for it, but all the names of the fighters are, you know, it's like that. So I wouldn't even be here were it not for the fact, Bill, that I had my weight paid. It's a little bit of a junket. I got my weight paid here by one of the promoters. I'm not going to write up, you know, a biased column. I'll do it for my blog. But if a guy wants to pay your way to New York, what do you want?
So this is a guy, Jerry Got Abandoned versus Big Tom Brown.
Yeah, and Big Tom Brown would have a suitable name.
But he couldn't think of one?
That's my understanding from his manager. They're thinking of calling him Left on a Road. Jerry Got Abandoned, but they thought the Left on the Road was not going to work with a guy named Jerry Got Abandoned. So
what if he got run over by a truck?
I guess it would be Tom got run over by a truck.
This is a stupid idea, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, how did I know you'd say that, Ms. Gray? I mean, that doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that you're going to be very much against an idea that is unusual like this, you know?
No, I'm not against unusual ideas. This is a stupid idea. Jerry Got Abandoned versus Big Tom Brown, and they would have called him Left on a Road, but it sounded too much like Got Abandoned.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell. You got that. You're very good. You're very quick.
And the fact is, you're in New York because you got your way paid there by one of the promoters.
Yeah, I got my way paid here by. Are you going to have a problem with that?
No, I got no problem with it. I'm glad that you disclosed it, and I'm glad that I would like to think that you're spending your time a little bit more profitably, because I don't think that that's much of a story. I don't know. I've never heard of these guys, and is anybody actually going to be at this fight?
Well, I mean, they had a fair sampling of press. It's New York City. I mean, you never can tell. But I'm going to be in Glendale, Arizona, in time for the Super Bowl game. But anyway, getting back to the press conference yesterday, I talked to Moose Rutledge. Moose is a reporter and a kind of a gadfly at a pro football camps in and around New England. This is what he had to say. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's been. I would say that what Belichick has done is the equivalent of letting his quarterback take the heat for it. Because I don't think Belichick, with his track record right now, they caught him with his hand in the till, and he does not want that to happen to him again.
What do you think is going to be, probably what would be the biggest thing to happen?
They'll probably fine him. I don't see them. No way do they forfeit the game. No way do they play it again. There's no way. So they'll fine him, and they'll be happy that they did, and move on with it.
Now, that was Moose Rutledge. Again, he's a big reporter. He's a guy who's got his ear to the ground, got his nose to the ground, or whatever else you put to the ground there.
All right. Hey, Jack, that guy was talking about how they'll fine him, and that's it. So that will be the extent. Now, I thought the penalty called for a replay of the game, or you disqualify.
Well, that's my understanding, too. But nobody here believes that Goodall is going to get involved at that level. And let me tell you one other thing, and you brought this up too, Phil, and I think it is probably something you're going to want to talk about. Some people have been today discussing the fact that there was a physicist on television yesterday. He said that air pressure, when it goes down in the cold weather, is that what you said?
Yeah, the molecules travel more slowly when it's cold.
Slow down. Say it again.
Yeah, what is this, the molecules travel more slowly?
When things... I'm not saying any... The physics professor said it. When it gets cold, the air pressure goes down. And so the ball is going to lose pressure because of the cold air.
Well, where they filled the footballs up, it was warmer.
Yes, they filled the footballs and tested the footballs, more to the point, in the locker room. And that's why you had this... obvious difference in to begin with temperature, and then you take these footballs from the area where they were inflated and from the area where they were tested, which was a warmer environment, and put them outside into a colder environment. That's what's going
to
happen.
All right, so I don't doubt at all that that's going to come into play here as we go further and further and deeper and deeper and go deeper and deeper and deeper into this controversy, which today, Phil, as of today, today is Friday. Is now 4 days old. We got a week to go before the Super Bowl, and someone better come up with some answers and some good answers here before the kickoff of the football game, what's coming up on Sunday. Reporting here from Glendale, or actually I'm in New York for the prize fight here between Johnny left on the street and this other guy, Tom Brown. I can't even remember the name. I think they ought to go back to regular names. Anyway, reporting from New York City is Jack Armstrong, Phil Clark Show.
So,
what is that guy? What did he say?
Yeah, what did he lock that out with?
Jack Armstrong, Phil Hendry Show. He was reporting from that prize fight.
Yeah, that's a prize fight with Johnny Takeaway.
Johnny Takeaway?
That's the name of the guy.
Oh, yeah. I want to forget I even heard about that. All right, so you heard what Jack said. Now, that's interesting because Goodall... Goodall doesn't have a reputation right now as being the most aggressive of commissioners.
Well, this guy Goodall, you know, a lot of people think that he was a real namby-pamby and a real, if you'll pardon the expression, Margaret, pussy when it came to this guy, this Rice, and the whole domestic violence thing.
Well, that was a disgrace, an absolute disgrace.
What would you expect him to do? I mean, he can't put the man in jail himself. He was just reacting to what law enforcement did.
Yeah, but you could take the guy and maybe throw him out of the game.
Wait, hold the phone here for a minute, man. The guy was dealt with. We already talked about this on the show. And I thought we made a very good point, and as it turned out, everybody agreed with us.
Well, Henry,
I'm not saying they agreed with me, but it turned out that people were thinking the same way. This guy was punished. He accepted the punishment. He didn't deny it. He didn't say, okay, you know, he didn't fight it. He didn't hide anything. He told the NFL what happened. He told the cops what happened. The cops dealt with it their way. The National Football League made its decision. Only a few months later do we find out that this videotape surfaces. It is seen by all, and suddenly this guy becomes a persona non grata and a pariah and anathema and anything, you know.
But what's anathema?
It's not the lung condition, all right? It's the,
Well, I thought it was pointing to my chest.
Yeah, I know. It's not asthma, anathema. It is something that is anathema, contrary to and poisonous, toxic to.
All right, so,
Well, I'm just telling him, Phil.
I understand. So all of a sudden, because of the resultant publicity of that videotape, this guy Rice is starting to get all kinds of heat. People don't like him. I understand. People think he's a piece of shit. I get that. But it ain't like the guy was ducking it. It isn't like the guy didn't accept what punishment they wanted to give him. Now you can't come to this guy a few months later and say, oh, and by the way, even though we made a deal with you that here were the punitive measures we were going to take, it turns out this videotape came out, and the public is reacting a lot worse than we thought they would, so we're going to have to change the punishment we gave it. We're going to throw you out of football completely. No. That's not an honorable thing to do. That is despicable, if you want my honest opinion. Every bit as despicable as what that guy did. Look, what he did to his girlfriend, his wife, is horrific, but what the NFL attempted to do to that guy is... almost as bad. It's dishonest. It's hypocritical. It's you know.
Well, I thought I'd heard it all. What are you saying? You're saying it's as bad as him beating up that girl?
In a different way, but yeah, it's as criminal. It's almost a criminal thing, because if you say to a guy, here's your punishment, no, on second thought, no, it isn't, here's something even worse, because the public relations blow that we're taking here is, you know what I'm saying?
No, you know, it sounds to me, Phil, you're going into one of your speeches. You've been doing pretty good, too. Before you started speechifying, you were doing all right. And now here you go with the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, what are you trying to say, Mr. Henry?
Never mind. Forget it.
No, you're saying, you already gave this speech, Phil, we know.
Sammy, you don't have to give the speech again.
All right, I won't give the speech again. So,
besides that, you took us way off the point. Look it. So the guy Rice, whatever, whatever, whatever. Now here comes Goodell, and that guy has got a reputation of being a real sissy, a real pussy and a half, because he didn't deal with that situation as directly as he should have. And
you know, how did he get the idea? How did anybody get the idea this guy's a pussy? Isn't he the guy that that kicked Pac-Man Jones's ass and was a real hard ass when it came to discipline?
Oh, yeah, the guy's got a real reputation when it comes to kicking players' asses. But when it comes to kicking teams' asses, especially the ownership, I think the shoe is on the other foot, my friend. I'm General Galen Shaw. Blow me.
Oh, my God.
You heard it right.
What are you pissed off about?
Wouldn't you like to know?
God damn, General.
Well, I'm getting sick of this shit.
All right,
Well, I think that, if I may...
Go ahead.
I think that the... I don't give a shit. Is this about where they play the Super Bowl?
Pretty much.
No, I don't give a shit.
All right, well, here's what I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Would you sit... Somebody sit down around here.
I'm just getting myself a glass of milk.
I think that they should play the football game... Because what I heard from that guy talking about the underinflated footballs being just the result of the temperature may very well be what the situation is. And if that's the situation, don't you feel like the dumbass when suddenly you realize nobody deflated the balls on purpose? It wasn't Tom Brady going to the... And by the way, I didn't get a chance to ask that guy, get Armstrong back on the phone. What the hell's going on around here, man? I didn't even get him a chance to ask him the question.
What about?
About what Tom Brady said and what Belichick said.
Dead it, Tom Belichick got thrown under the bus.
Tom Belichick? Who's Tom Belichick?
The guy that's the coach of the team.
You mean Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, and we'll talk about Tom Belichick, and we'll find out as well what the hell happened. You know, what did Tom Brady say? And then we're going to get into Robert Greene's whole situation there at Fraser Foods relation to Sans Ben Sauerkraut. He's got a piece of that business, and he has a spokesperson that he's trying to sign up. We'll find out all about that when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show here is in this moment. It's called Horror. Randy Bellamy here for Bellamy Brothers, Bellamy Brothers Sports Jackets. Yesterday, you heard the McLarens, and you've also heard the McDonald's talking about their sports jackets. And I know there's a Bellamy Brothers rock group and a Bellamy Brothers country band. But I am the Bellamy Brothers who makes sports jackets. Sports jackets are big. We're big sponsors on the Phil Henry Show. He's got about six or seven different kinds of companies that make sports jackets. What is a sports jacket? It's a jacket like a suit jacket, except it's made out of tweed. It's got those patches on the elbow. And you can wear it if you're a hobo. You can wear it if you're a bum. You can wear it if you're getting married. You can wear it as a college professor, you can wear it as a pimp, you can marry it. Just give the address. Bellamy Brothers Sports Jackets downtown. God damn, man. All right, Jack, I hate to bother you, man, but I got to get you back here on this one. What did Tom Brady say?
I'm sorry, Phil. I thought I'd mention about...
You didn't say anything about Brady. You said Belichick threw him under the bus.
Well, Belichick said that he didn't know anything about the underinflation.
That's not what we're asking about. That's about Brady.
Hey, let me say something to you, Dickman. I understand what you're... I'm talking to the man now, Mr. Henry, not you.
Okay, so what did Brady say?
Brady said that he didn't touch the balls. He didn't do nothing with a football. He said that the balls are in the hands of the equipment guys. He said he wishes he could say something more about it. He'd love to be able to tell everybody that he's a crooked, no-good, low-down, lying piece of garbage, but he's not. And that seems what everybody wants around here.
Wait a minute. What is the attitude we're getting here from you, Jack, all of a sudden?
Well, everybody wants me to start... You talk about Belichick throwing Brady under the bus. You want me to start throwing guys under the bus. All I'm telling you is what the guy said.
That's all we want to know. So both of those guys said they didn't know anything.
They both said they don't know nothing. And I believe both of them, Phil. I believe both of them.
All right, so then you subscribe to the theory that the temperature affected the ball pressure.
No, I don't subscribe to that at all. That sounds very convenient. It sounds like someone hired. You know, it's one of those old, you get your physicists and I'll get my physicists, you know, and we'll see. No, I don't buy that at all.
So what do you think happened?
To what?
To the footballs, man.
Oh, well, the footballs, as far as I can tell, the balls got, I think, if you want, I don't know who, but I think somebody, not Belichick, not Brady, and it wasn't air pressure, it wasn't the weather, it wasn't the temperature. I think there's some ball boy, some equipment guy who's trying to ride the glory on the back of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, trying to ride the glory as the guy that affects the outcome of a football game by underinflating the footballs and going to try to ride the glory.
How can this guy ride the glory unless people know who he is?
Well, I don't think it's important for him to know who he is. He just wants to manipulate it and see what kind of action he causes, what kind of disaster he creates. I think it's a kid that's got real problems upstairs. I think he's got problems between the ears. And
well, that narrows it down. If you're talking about an equipment guy that just wants to mess with people or mess with the system, you've either got equipment people on one side or the other, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could narrow it down, sure. Look into the psychiatric records of ball boys. It sounds a little unusual, but they've got to be able to cross-reference the psychiatric records of ball boys and equipment managers. If you listed all of the equipment managers in the National Football League and then put alongside of those all psychiatric records and then isolate out of that ball boys and their psychiatric records, you may find some very sick and twisted stories there. You may find stories of God knows what, psychosis, ritual killing,
So you're saying that if you isolate the psychiatric histories of ball boys, we'll find ritual slayings?
No, I didn't say that. I said you may find some very sick and twisted stories to be told there, okay? But to automatically say that it's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, what is that? Yeah, right. Those guys are going to sacrifice everything known to them and to their lives and their families to underinflate a ball? No, more likely it is if you isolate out again the psychiatric records.
Yes, we know. Of all the ball boys, you'll find a sick and twisted narrative.
You may find ritual killing. You could find animal sacrifice. I don't know. But it's far more likely.
Far more likely that we'll find a history of animal sacrifice and ritual killing among ball boys than we will find the untoward motive there with Bill Belichick or Tom Brady.
I don't know what you just said, Phil. That's another one of those things. You just go yada-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and everybody's supposed to figure that out. I don't understand it. I'm not going to buy into it. I'm not going to fall. No, I'm not falling into that cow flop. Not two mornings in a row. Thank you very much. This is Jack Armstrong reporting Phil Harris Show.
You know, I didn't tell him to hang up.
You want to call him back?
No. But the next time you tell him, if he hangs up on me again, he can go back to Minneapolis, write his blog, and I don't care.
That's exactly what I've been telling you to do with this guy.
What is he talking? This guy, Armstrong, Phil.
All right, look, let's not have Jack Armstrong be the, you know, the whipping boy of this show.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Man, I mean, the guy is very, very weird, you know, talking about how ritual killing and psychiatric record on a ball boy.
Yeah, but you don't know. I mean, the thing that I like about a Jack Armstrong or any very good reporter is they point out the things it could very well be. Why, I remember 2 years ago.
Yeah, forget it, bud. We got to get going here, okay? World famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be right back. We'll be talking with Bob Green and about a story the story is really tangential to what we're going to talk to Bob Green about. But did you see this, General?
Yes, I did, and it was a very moving tale, and it was quite profound.
Yeah, there was a story in one of the news sites about a World War II veteran and a Holocaust survivor. These two men met each other originally the day that the 42nd Division of the United States Army liberated Dachau. One of the men was an American soldier by the name of Daniel Gillespie. The other man was a man named Joshua Kaufman, who was an inmate at Dachau. They met Mr. Gillespie's division. Mr. Gillespie himself helped free Mr. Kaufman as he helped Mr. Kaufman out of the barracks into the sunlight. He remembers this. Both men remember it. Well, a German documentary crew has reunited these two men for the first time since the war. It'll be a special
Oh, my God. I'm going to cry.
Yeah, it'll be a special on the History Channel. But the really, one of those amazing aspects of the story that seems to be repeated over and over again, these two guys only lived an hour from each other all these years.
Well, you're kidding me.
No, an hour from each other. So we're going to talk to Robert Green. He has his own World War II veteran story to tell here, and we will hear it in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. February 5th at the Hollywood Improv. And if you're looking for something to get your Valentine, to get your loved one, to get your girl, Rudy Canoza on the line with us here. Rudy, about the Je T'aime Lingerie t-shirt, man, there's no better time than right now, huh?
Hey, let me tell you, my friend, Rudy Canoza, and good morning, everyone. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Rudy.
The Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie t-shirt available in the Phil Henry website. We have all these sizes, and this is the greatest way for you to say to the woman you love, la 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 la. You get her the Rudy Canoza t-shirt. It comes in the pink. It has the hot pink. It has the Rudy Canoza, the Je T'aime Lingerie logo on the front. And, of course, it is a la 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 lovely t-shirt to get for the lady for the 4th of July. for the Valentine's Day. Get it to her for the 4th of July. You can buy it now and get layaway for the 4th of July. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't do layaway, you know.
So you say.
Well, not that way, anyway.
Oh, aren't you funny? Oh, isn't that? Oh, they don't do layaway.
What the fuck is this? Is this another one of these demon? Well, this guy's doing the demon grunt. Flashback first gives us the upper hand. Rule by rule, we're death incarnate tonight. Take a world that's sleeping, they won't put up a fight.
Welcome back here. We got Bob Green with us here from Fraser Foods. Robert Green, who is the owner of Fraser Foods and has been a frequent guest of ours on the show. And you heard the story I just told, Bob, about the veteran of the 42nd, Daniel Gillespie, 89 years of age, and the man that he met there at Dachau.
Well, this is a story that is being repeated over and over again in the United States and around the world. And you made the very good point that these veterans of the Second World War, these men are getting on in years now, and we won't have them much longer. So it is very important to get them involved in the retelling and in the chronology of these events and the narrative, and make sure that we get the story and get it good, and ensure that we are very very much a people that are going to benefit from these stories.
Now, Bob, I know you have been working with a particular veteran.
We have. This is a synergy, as we like to say in business, Phil. I have been involved in the startup of a company here in California we're very proud of, and it's called Sans Ben Sauerkraut. Now, Sans Ben Sauerkraut is made from California cabbages. It is pickled and brined and produced and shredded and bottled and put in stock right here in California. It is our very own California product, and I've been very grateful to get to know here over the last 6 months Colonel Walter Cott. And Colonel Cott is a United States Air Force veteran from the Second World War. Colonel Cott flew some 26 bomber missions over Germany during that time, and is one of the great many heroes who risked their lives to neutralize Germany's manufacturing and armaments capacity, so that they could be weakened and Hitler's empire could be weakened, and eventually the Allies could prevail. He's very elderly. He's 91 years of age, but we went to him with a proposal saying that we'd like him finally to get his due as a veteran.
All right. Well, now, my question, Robert, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir. And by the way, I wanted to clear the air about something, if I could.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm not afraid to talk to you. I admire you, General. I heard that there was a comment, I think, made by either Mr. Dickman or Mr. Leonard that I wouldn't have the guts to go on the air
Wait. Who said that?
I just said that you're going to have that man on to try to pitch you a sauerkraut. You know.
Yeah, and Wait. I didn't say anything about anybody pitching sauerkraut, okay?
Wait, okay, so hold the phone here. I want you two guys... Now, when were these comments made?
I heard that these comments were made to a blogger. Excuse me, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm very tired, and I didn't even have the strength to keep that belch down.
I understand.
These were...
Oh, for God's... Well, I don't understand.
I apologize, Miss Gray, but I'm very fatigued, and it was all the strength I could muster to try to keep that belch from coming up. It was a no-go. No-go. No way. Okay?
All right, so a blogger...
Yeah, yesterday I read one of these radio blogs. I don't know who it was. It might have been this guy Looney. It might have been someone. He quoted the two of these guys as saying that I was using Colonel Cott to pitch my sauerkraut. And I was very, very offended by that.
Okay, I didn't hear anything about this.
All right, sir, I just want to make sure that you understand that's not why I'm doing that. And I have great respect for our military.
All right, you guys, you know...
Well, just our opinion.
Who asked you that question?
About the question about a guy, when he said, what's coming up on the show? We said, we're going to have this guy on. He's going to be talking about a colonel pitching the crowd.
Some guy, huh? So you didn't even have the common decency to use my name?
We weren't thinking that that was important at the time. What was most important is the fact that you want to pitch the crowd. You know,
would you not say pitch the crowd? It sounds like a racial, it sounds like a derogatory term. Say what you mean, sauerkraut.
Well, it's the same difference.
No, it's not the same difference. And so this is what I'm talking about, Phil. I come on your program only to find out that somebody has been laying in wait to spring a trap to dump water on me filled with, you know, one of those buckets of water that they fill up with excrement. And I will...
I understand.
I walk through the door and I go, hi, everybody. It's Bob Green, and I brought candy and cake and a bucket full of animal excrement. Dumps on me.
Well, I wouldn't say it's that bad, Green.
I would. Very much so.
I don't think that's happened yet. Tell me the story here. And both of you gentlemen, Mr. Leonard and Mr. Dickman...
Oh, both of you gentlemen now.
Yes, I'm trying to treat them like the adults they want to be treated like. In the future, if you are asked to give comment, would you please, if you're going to give an opinion, would you please run it by me first?
How are we going to do that if the guy's... God,
I'm saying he wants to clear everything?
Yes. Look what the problem it's causing.
Well, man, the guy asked the question, you know.
And so you guys give your opinion, and you run my name, my good name, the name of my store. Figuratively, you run us right through a gutter where God knows how many hobos have relieved themselves. You've run me through a hobo gutter, a gutter of hobo relief. And I feel like the hobo that needs the most relief. I'm Bob Green. I'm a sponsor.
All right, Bob. Let's just pick it up from here, and we will do what we can to minimize the damage.
Well, I don't know that any damage has been done. I want to ask the question here, okay? Because I haven't been allowed to ask the question.
Go ahead.
Are you using this Colonel Cott, this Air Force veteran, to sell the sauerkraut?
No, I'm not. Does that answer your question? Now, can I get on with what I want to say?
Well, it does answer the question. You don't have to be that rude about it.
Wait, what is everybody...
This happens all the time when I'm on your show, Phil. Every time I'm... Excuse me for saying this, Phil. Every time I'm on your rotten show, that's what happens.
Now what?
You gotta hang up again.
Got that right.
Are you trying to hang up, Mr. Green?
Madam, I'm not trying. I did. Jesus.
Well, no, you didn't, because we can hear you.
Say that again.
No, you didn't, because we can hear you.
You're hearing me right now.
Yes, we are. So why don't you just stay on the line so we can continue talking to you?
Go ahead.
Okay, Bob, you and I, and I just want me and Bob to talk here for a second, and then... You know, you guys can jump in.
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Just don't make it sound so cozy.
What do you mean, cozy?
Oh, look, Phil, don't get sidetracked by this smartass, okay?
You're talking about you want to talk to Mr. Green like it's all cozy.
See, that's the kind of comment I don't need. These, you know, casting aspersions on me like I want to get up close and cozy with Henry. Forget it. Goodbye.
I wish you guys would shut up. You know that?
This guy is trying to hang up.
The hell is your problem, Green? You're not hanging the phone up if that's what you want to do.
What did you say?
I said you're not hanging the phone up if that's what you want to do.
Fuck it.
Wait, Bob, would you just let me talk to you?
No, not if these guys... Oh, you want to get up and cozy with Green? I'm not trying to get cozy with Phil Hendry. I got a business to run. You people understand that?
Yes, we understand. The question is as follows. And I'll leave you alone. Colonel Codd is a World War II veteran, and he is a very, very distinguished man. I understand that. What was he going to do for you in relation to this sans ben sauerkraut?
He was going to be in the commercials, but hold on for a minute. He was not going to be asked to pitch sans ben sauerkraut. He was going to be in a print ad that I was going to put in the Orange County Courier. And now, that doesn't make any difference now.
Bob, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We were going to... All I wanted to do was have a print ad showing the colonel putting a bayonet through through a jar of Clausen sauerkraut as if to say, you know, here's one of our veterans. Do you think he's going to let this German kraut? No way. I'm not going to say that, but that's, you know, look at our veteran putting a bayonet right into that German, into the German stuff. This is American sauerkraut.
American sauerkraut.
Oh, man. The judgment.
Well, Bob, this is a lot different from what I was led to believe it would be. Now, to me, it sounds like you are using that man.
At no time do I ask him to endorse sans ben sauerkraut.
But you got him putting a bayonet into a jar of Clausen sauerkraut, is that it?
Yeah, Phil, that's it. And if you say it a few more times, we can really completely destroy any real impact or any momentum that campaign will have. So go ahead, keep saying it. I've got a colonel who's putting a bayonet in the German sauerkraut, a colonel putting a bayonet in the German sauerkraut, a colonel putting a bayonet in the German... There, now it doesn't... Now the ad campaign isn't worth anything. Now it's not worth anything.
You were going to use this colonel, this veteran, this 91-year-old man, in a print ad.
What's... Let me ask you something. What's so terrible about that?
Because the guy's a veteran of the war and everything. You should have more respect.
I would think, Green, that...
Wait, one at a time, okay? One of you mushmouths at a time, all right? I can't process all of that. It's like I'm in a snake pit or something, you know?
All right, thanks very much, Bob.
Oh, so I get hung up on because you...
All right.
I think that is as low as it gets. A 91-year-old veteran is being talked into the...
Well, you know, it's very easy. We'll just contact his... you know, if he wants to do it, I'm not saying that the man is that Colonel Codd is not allowed to do it.
I got money that says he doesn't even understand what the campaign's about.
Well, that's to assume that there must be some dementia going on there, which I'm not trying to say that. But somebody with the family, I think... should be told, you know, it's that I don't think it puts him in the best possible light.
Yeah, put a bayonet to a can of sauerkraut and everything. And I like Clausen sauerkraut, too.
Well, I don't care what kind of sauerkraut you like.
You like sauerkraut, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I do.
Well, I mean, you don't find that to be...
Find that to be what?
Oh, Robert, it's been many, many years since World War II. No one cares anymore.
I think sauerkraut's delicious. And if you put it on a hot dog, Jack... You're on a fast track to heaven.
Yeah, sauerkraut's pretty damn good.
Well, all right, man, you say so.
It's damn good. Yeah, you put it with a hot dog, it's a beautiful thing. But having a war veteran putting a bayonet into a jar of German I don't know, you know...
Why is he doing that?
Because he said that the veterans are dying and we need to...
We need to take advantage of them commercially before they're all... Jesus Christ.
All right, Well, that's that. I mean, what do you want me to say, man? It's that's that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back tomorrow from San Francisco for our BSP-only show. And we'll be back on Monday from the El Pacifico. We'll see you, see you tonight in San Francisco at the Sketch Fest at the Stage Works.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. Short show today, but you know how it is. Phil's lazy and tired, and, you know, he's just...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry's lazy and tired, and everything.
Yeah, he's got to drive 400 miles.
Oh. That's what we need, more love. That's what we need to succeed. Not dollars, not what we need. Let's give them love so the
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Jade Worsley Sports Jackets.
downtown.
It's hard to separate that nonsense, but you hit me down to your neck. No, we don't want no more false interpretation of the word. Manipulating people, having a business learn. You may think it's ridiculous, maybe even absurd, but we talk the truth, it has to be heard.
We need more love. Come on, that's what we need. More love, that's what we need to succeed. Not dollars, not what we need. Let's give them love so the youth can achieve more love.
Open your mind and see a bigger problem. Bring it lower. Cause when you look at the youth today, and they see all the greed and the children in the street, you can tell me it ain't a question. You got to make this right, don't forget that I mentioned
love. Come on, that's what we need, more love. That's what we need to succeed now. You got your mind on the cash line, but you're so blind, you're so blind. Yes, now we need more love.
Shouldn't tell you gotta act so serious. Not like your money, but you lack experience. Life will pass you right by before you know it. Clock is ticking and your money can't slow it. Dedicated to the people being real, the people that serve and the people that heal. And if you wanna succeed, true wealth is the knowledge that in life all you need is more love.
Come on, that's what we need, more love. That's what we need to succeed. Not dollars, not what we need. Let's give them love so the youth can achieve more love. Come on, that's what